This is Rat Pack Radio, the internet radio station that brings you everything from the top hits of music.
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars.
To Sports Talk Radio.
With the first pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Los Angeles Rams select Jared Goff, quarterback, California.
We are here for you, WRPR Rat Pack Radio. Come join the pack.
Hello, sports fans, and welcome to...
You're listening to the Rat Pack Sports Show live on Rat Pack Radio, WRPR.
It's new, it's fresh, it's a slam dunk!
You're listening to WRPR Rat Pack Radio. Come join the pack. You're listening to Rat Pack Sports Show on WRPR Rat Pack Radio.
Blue, you're my boy!
A genius. A man who has a reputation to be the best at what he does.
You see, a man has to realize his limitations. You don't know me, and you don't know what I'm capable of.
That was a heck of an effort.
This house is a prison in the galaxy of this sucks.
Are you free enough?
This battle is over when I say it is over.
I will massacre you.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Are you not entertained?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
That's how I roll.
Offensive foul!
Hello? You play to win the game.
There's a drive! Way back! It might be! It could be! Yeah!
This is my favorite part coming up right now. Watch your tongue.
We are back. We are live. Rat Pack Radio, WRPR, Wednesday night on the air till 11:30. Bring you the best there is in sports talk and entertainment. This is Rat Pack Sports Show, streaming online, ratpacksports.com. Also, the Rat Pack Radio WRPR app. We're online on Facebook, Rat Pack Sports Show. Also, we are on Twitter at Rat Pack Sports with a Z. We are also on Spotify as well as Podbean. If you want to go ahead over there and download some of podcasts from some years back, you can do that as well. We have no problem with that if you want to catch up. And we advise you if you hear us, and we're gonna bring them on in right now. Rat Pack Sports Show very own Mr. William Graves. What's going on, brother?
What is going on, Debo?
Nothing much, man. Nothing much. You know, another Wednesday night. No AEW tonight, folks, because we have We got NBA playoffs, so no AEW. But AEW will be on Fridays, so it'll be on this Friday. Obviously, we won't be on the air, but if you guys are listening to this show, and you're a wrestling fan, I advise you, if you haven't already, check out AEW. They ain't been around that long, but to me, as an old school wrestling fan, they're already better than
a better product.
They already have a better product. So that says a lot because, you know, WWE has been around for a very long time. They've got about a 40-year head start on AEW. Mm-hmm. But the same people behind the scenes with AEW is a lot of the same people that was behind the scenes with WCW. So they are not strangers to building a wrestling brand. There's a lot of Hall of Fame bloodlines that are pumping in to that AEW product. And it's been a joy to watch. And we can say Rat Pack Sports Show has been, from the very beginning, pushing AEW.
Yes. Well, if you really think about it, Derek, if you look at who is working there, working behind the scenes and everything like that, those people are the same people that produced both sides of the Monday Night Wars. You got people from WCW there, like you said. You have Jim Ross, who was a major proponent of the WWE side of the Monday Night Wars and AEW now. So, you got the best of both worlds. And I do think that the WWE, I think they're going to survive. And I think they're going to, and I think they're still going to be around, but I don't think it's ever going to be like it was, because a couple of things coming out of New York today is that a sale of the WWE to NBC could be done by the end of this summer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely, man. Like I said, it's in the bloodlines, and there's a lot of knowledge on how to build a brand, not really starting. I mean, you could say they started from scratch because there was a brand new company, but as far as knowing what to do and having the finances in place to do it, they're not really starting from scratch. They have all the ideas that you could possibly think of, some of the brightest minds in the wrestling world that you could possibly think of, and none of it is really possible or can be put to task unless you have the funds. So they have the funds. They have more funds than what WWE is working with, because Shad Khan has more money than Vince McMahon. So they said it in the beginning, and they meant it. Money is not a problem. We have the money. We can sign any wrestler we want if they want to come over. The promotion obviously is going to get better as the years and the months and years go on, because the product is going to continue to improve. But I kind of like the home ring type of deal that they have going on in Jacksonville, where they do the majority of their broadcasts from one location. It's a smart way to do it. You save a lot of time and money on traveling, and it's a way to, get the people that's close to you more invigorated and more involved into the product you have. And then they still go out on the road and do stuff away from Jacksonville. So,
I think ever since they started allowing fans back in, I will be honest with you, I really haven't seen a even a close to an empty show since they even started allowing fans back
in. Oh, no. They've been waiting, man. They've been waiting. And unlike WWE, they went to the virtual Thunderdome deal. I don't watch WWE anymore, so I seen a couple videos of it, and, you know, it looks cool and all, but, you know, it's nothing like having actual fans in the stands, number one. Number two, it's cool from a digital standpoint to see how they work the technology, but I had no problem watching AEW, and they had literally nobody in the arena except for, you know, some of the wrestlers who was on ringside the whole time. But the way that AEW production crew positioned the camera angles, you didn't need to see the crowd. The action was about, it was about what was going on in the ring. So it didn't matter to me that it wasn't nobody in the stands because they never really panned. They didn't pan to the crowd. So, you know, a whole year of that, and it was like when the fans came back, you noticed a difference. But the way the production crew or AEW presented it, I think it made it better to watch without the fans because the attention was brought on what was going on in the ring. And the product in the ring is really good. And with WWE, I guess they wanted to make the fans feel like they were still a part of it, which is cool. But your product sucks. So the visual is what they was going for. Because the product was straight trash. But that's my opinion. And also, I've been watching this movie, man. And I know it's an old movie. This is my first time seeing it. Tarzan.
Tarzan?
Yeah, the remake of Tarzan.
You watch it.
The one they did with Wesley Snipes. Not Wesley Snipes. Samuel Jackson. The newest one.
Man, you just out watching that.
Bro, I don't even know how old this movie is. I'm just not watching it. This is the first time I watched it.
Devo.
And It was really entertaining. It was a good movie, man. It was a good movie. I like it.
Yeah, it was.
But it's the first time I've seen it. And, I don't even know how old this movie is. It's probably about 10 years old. Well, that's too old. No, it's not.
At least.
2016. So 5 years. 5 years old. But I've never seen it. It's like a 2.5 hour movie. And I didn't watch it from start to finish. So maybe I'll check it out again from start to finish. But my man Tarzan was the real deal.
Well, I saw it. See, I'm over here talking smack to you, and I think I just watched it for the first time, like, last year or something like that. So,
oh, really?
You know, I probably, yeah.
And they got Samuel Jackson looking like he 40 years old, knowing he like 70. Nah, it was, you know, Samuel Jackson is one of actors, man. Is there a bad
that
movie?
Don't age.
That too, but is there a bad movie that he's done that you could, like, right off the top of your head say, oh, that was a bad movie? Now, there's one. But nope. I consider it a bad but funny movie. And I'll give you the name of the movie. And when I give you the name of the movie, you're probably going to be like, oh, okay. Snakes on the Plane?
Okay. Yeah. All right. I mean, I don't necessarily want to call it a bad movie. To me, it was just one-dimensional.
Yeah, I mean, it's like watching like the airplane movies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to it but the airplane. And
but now.
Yeah.
But now, one of my favorite movies of his was the one he did with John Travolta, Pulp Fiction.
Dude, that's Pulp Fiction is an all-time classic.
Yes.
I mean,
absolutely. Now,
you can't get any better than Pulp Fiction.
He also did one, and I can't remember the name of it, but it was like he was a former hostage negotiator, and then he became a bad guy, and he like took hostages or something like that, and I can't remember the name of it, but he did a fantastic job in that, and I can't remember the name of the movie, but he was a former police hostage negotiator.
Yeah, I don't know what the name of that movie was. My man Tarzan.
And then of course,
my man Tarzan just had a baby Tarzan. Oh, man.
This dude.
Oh, you know, back in the days, I used to watch the old Tarzan show.
The black and white one?
No, the one, not that old, not that one. Now, that's the oldest Tarzan. It was the one they did like in the 80s, the remake of the show.
Mm-hmm. I know which one you're talking about.
I used to watch that one. You know, sometimes when they do these movie TV shows or old school adaptions and remakes, stuff mm-hmm. like that, sometimes it can they can suck. But I think the CGI aspect of it added a new element to Tarzan that was very much needed, because you really can't some of these scenes and these action sequences and stuff like that, you can't really do a lot of them because it's not possible. You know what I'm saying? It's just not humanly possible without the CGI effect. So this is where, you know, one of the films where the CGI brought it all to life. It's a good movie, and I don't want to, say like, sometimes the CGI can be like overkill and it can hurt the product, but for this movie here, it was needed. So I thought it was good, man. I thought it was really good, and I'm probably going to watch it again so I can catch the first like hour of the movie. And
yeah. Well, I will tell you this. Next to Pulp Fiction, my favorite movie, another one of my favorite movies of his is Coach Carter. Like, that was
Coach
a
Carter,
fantastic movie.
What's the movie? What's the movie he did where he was
the Avengers?
No.
He
was like the defendant in a murder case or something like that. It was a good movie, but the favorite quote from the movie was, you know, I hope he die, and I hope he burn in Bleak Bleak. I can't remember the name of the movie. That was a good movie too. But Samuel Jackson is he's probably the most successful actor in Hollywood. Like, with the amount of films he's done, the amount of success that he's had in his films, and Coach Carter was an excellent movie.
Now, honestly, he kind of reminded me of my old football coach, to be completely honest with you.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, them
some of the exact same way.
Them the best movies, man, when you watch it and you be like, man, that's just what my coach did.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Sam. Yep. Now, if there were two other actors that I would say that might have a comparable filmology or whatever you want to call it, I guess you could say a portfolio of films that would rival Samuel L. Jackson, two guys come to mind: Denzel Washington and Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, well, here we go right here. All right. Samuel Jackson. The films which he has appeared in has collectively grossed over 27 billion with a B. Billion. 27 billion dollars. Making him the highest grossing actor ever. I told you he was up there, man. I didn't know he was like number one, but that dude resume,
man,
bro.
This dude has made the movie industry over $1 billion.
No, now 27. Well, yeah, because you're getting a cut. So yeah, he's made the movie industry.
Oh yeah,
by himself. That's a lot of money. 27 billion.
Yeah, I mean, I know what some people are going to come out and say. Some of those was the Marvel movies and everything like that. Okay, all right, I'll give them that.
You could give them that, but honestly, the
Marvel movies that make $27 billion all by themselves.
Exactly, and the way you got to look at it like this is this: along with the Marvel movies, there were other actors in that movie that was getting paid more than Jackson. You know what I'm saying? Scarlett Johansson. I'm sure they should, because she had a big role in all those films. She was a higher paid Captain. I'm about to say Captain America. What's the dude name that played Captain? But whatever, the guy that played Captain America, Chris Evans. He was part of the Marvel Universe. He was making more, guaranteed. Robert Downey probably was the highest paid of everybody.
He was making, like, I think the lowest movie that he made in the Marvel Universe was Iron Man 1.
Yep.
And then after that, this dude was making, like, so much, I mean, just so much money. You know what? Good for him, because, I mean, you know, he had a time there where he was, you know, where he was not okay. He struggled with addiction and, all kinds of stuff. So, you know, it was really good to see him bounce back the way he did and everything, you know. But, I mean, come on, man. $27 billion.
Hey, and I know, this is the Rat Pack Sports Show, folks, by the way, if you're just tuning in. Sometimes we get off, we go in left field. This
man,
is left.
Man, you know what? We just need to change. We just need to change the name to the Rat Pack Show.
Yeah, right. Because we talk about everything. It ain't just. It ain't just sports.
Oh, but, yeah.
Yeah. Whatever. It, I mean, Rat Pack Show, Rat Pack Sports. It doesn't matter. You know, we've been around long enough. People know what they get when they listen to us. So we go off in the left field sometimes. And but
yeah, by Samuel the way, Jackson. I listened to last week's show.
Yeah, what happened?
I sure as hell fell asleep.
I know you did. I know. Wait till Boss Hog come on.
I didn't think I fell asleep like that.
Man, listen, why you think we was laughing so hard, bro? Okay.
Man.
William, this is what happened.
Look.
We was having a conversation, me, you, Boss Hog. We was having a conversation. I was asking you a question, and
yeah.
Boss Hog had just got on the line. I was asking you a question, and then I just start hearing like breathing noises, and I'm like, "William, bro, you all right, bro?" And next thing you know, I say, "This dude fell asleep." I was joking at first. I didn't know for sure, but I was joking at first.
No, I did.
And then,
Then
Boss Hog just bust out laughing because it got real quiet. And when it got real quiet, you see like the volume like amplified when you were snoring. Gosh,
man, I gotta apologize to the listeners about that. I am sorry that what I should have just bowed out of the show for that night. That was a long ass day. My day had started at like 3 o'clock that morning, and it was a long day. So to all the listeners and everything, I do apologize. I really do.
Listen, hey, it makes for good radio, bro. Hey, anybody that listened to that, they had a great laugh because I was like, first I felt kind of like, dang, bro, is a conversation that bored? My man just fell asleep in the middle of a conversation. Boss Hog was like, is he really asleep? I was like, hold on. Let's be quiet for a minute. Let's listen to him. And while we was listening, oh, my God, boy. Hey, we was laughing so hard, dude. Man. We was laughing so hard. I was like, Boss Hog just say, man, I can't believe this. I came on just in time.
I'm glad I could entertain and all that. But I do promise you, I did get my mandatory 6 hours of sleep and everything like that, so I'm good to go.
Cool. So I'm looking at, again, we're still on Samuel Jackson because I think it's just an amazing feat. This dude has made 100 and this is just acting. This is not the movies he actually had produced or part of a soundtrack or anything like this. 194 movie credits. Now, that may not seem like a lot because there's so many movies that come out on a year-to-year basis, but let's just put it like this. This dude is averaging about 5 movies a year, which is unprecedented for any actor. Like I'm going back all the way to when he first started acting, which, okay, his first credits was in the 70s. And in the 70s, this is how you know this dude just blew up real quick. In the 70s, in all of the 70s, from 72 to 80, dude was in 5 movies. And from 80 to 90, it went from 5 movies to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 movies in 90. Now, 1990, this is just the year 1990, folks. This dude was in 8 movies in the year 90, 1990. Just that year alone, 8 movies. 91, he was in 7 movies. 92, he was in 5 movies. 93, 6 movies. 94, 6 movies. 95, 8 movies. No, 9. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, 9 movies in 96. 97, he only did 3. He had a down year. He was the down year in 97. 98, he only did 4 movies. That's a down year. 99, he only did. He must have took a little break here. 99, he did 3 movies. Or 4. Yeah, 3 movies. 2000, he only did 4 movies. 2001, he 3 movies. 2002, he amped it back up a little bit. 6 movies. 2003, down year, 3 movies. Look, 3 movies in a year for some actors is great. Usually it's just 1. Sometimes it ain't even, you know, it ain't even 1 movie a year. It's like 1 every couple years. 2004, he said, you know what? I got some more projects. So he did credits in 6-7 different projects. I mean, on average, this dude is in like 4 to 5 movies a year. 2008 is when he's, you know, things started popping off with Marvel, but he was doing a lot of other stuff as well. Dude, he's a beast, man. I mean, like I said, 5 to 6 on the average every year. And then even last year during the pandemic, obviously these movies was brought to the screen last year. Obviously the production and all that was done, you know, years prior to that, because when you do a movie, you could be filming for like 6 months out the year, and it takes a year and just a year in post production before the movie even released to the theaters. So, you know, this year he did 5 last year, and he's got 6-7 projects coming this year. Well, not coming, but got 1 complete, 2 in post production, and a lot of these is like Marvel. So you got I don't know what this is. Secret Invasion. Nick Fury. It's a TV series. I'm gonna have to check that out because I don't even know what that is. So yeah, but very successful guy, man. And you know, when you see a movie with Samuel Jackson, it's gonna be a good movie. But enough of that. We got sports to talk about. Samuel Jackson, you've taken up enough airtime on the Rat Pack Sports Show. We appreciate your contribution. to the film industry and all your different characters that you've played, and young and old. But yeah, Pulp Fiction is probably, you ask anybody, what is What is Samuel Jackson's most popular film or best film? A lot of people is gonna point to Pulp Fiction. I mean, yes, I would. I mean, who? If you've been around, if you're old enough that you've seen Pulp Fiction, that's gonna be one of the movies you name as his top five best movies. I mean, that's not just Samuel Jackson. Right. I'm talking top five best movies. That movie is up there. Now, from a gross standpoint, obviously it was made in a time and place where the it didn't cost that much to make films like it does now. So grossing wise, it ain't gonna be, you know, up there as far as like what money it made, but rating wise, I bet you Pulp Fiction is probably on the scale of 1 to 10. I would say it's probably about an 8.5 or 9, and if it's a 5-star system, it's probably 4.5 stars. I'm gonna go check because I got that kind of time. What year did Pulp Fiction come out? 90. It was in the mid 90s. 94. Okay, 94. Pulp Fiction. What did I tell you? A 10 star rate system, dog. 8.9 out of 10. I knew it was up there. And that is out. That is based off almost 2 million reviews of this film, which is crazy. And it's still climbing in popularity, even today. And the movie was made 25 years ago, 27 years ago, something like that. Let's see, 28 years ago, 23 years ago. But, man, yeah, so. Yeah, that's a great movie, Pulp Fiction. Now, we're going to run to some sports because we did come on to talk a little bit of sports. You know, just a little bit, not much.
Has anybody heard from Nicholas Lane? Is he going to be on tonight?
I'm not sure. Nicholas Lane is adjusting to the time difference. He's on a vacation over here on the East Coast, and
poor West Coast boy can't.
He can't hang with the time difference, man.
The East Coast, man.
My man, say he don't know how we do it here on the East Coast, trying to watch these games because it's too late. We watch the games to the end. It's like midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. He's struggling. You're on vacation, bro. It shouldn't even matter what time these shows in.
That's
Nicholas,
right.
You're on vacation, brother. You don't need to go to sleep. You can stay up the whole night if you want to. The whole night.
Yeah. But then he out on the golf course at 10 o'clock in the morning, trying to play a round of golf too.
Yeah. You know. And I think he said he was going to be playing a little bit of poker as well. So he's probably not going to be on. I mean, he's on vacation.
He is. I just checked the chat group. He will be ready in 5 minutes.
Okay. We got him. 5 minutes. Nicholas Lane will be on with us. We're going to talk a little bit about the NBA playoffs.
And his favorite coach.
Yeah, his favorite coach. You can't wait. We can't wait for this. His favorite coach. He's going to talk about his favorite coach. We're not gonna give any names right now. We're just going to wait for him to come on. He's going to have some very positive things to say.
you have got to understand my humor and all this. A while back, me and Nicholas, we were talking, and I looked at him and I said, you know what? I said, watch. I said, this guy is going to win Coach of the Year. And Nicholas Lane just looked at me. He goes, I would literally be sick to my stomach. I said, I'm right there with you, but, and then when it was announced, I died laughing. I really did. But, while we're waiting for Nicholas Lane, a little bit of more of NBA news and everything, like we were talking about in the chat group, LeBron James is changing his number from 23 back to 6.
Yeah. Real quick, before you go on with that, I want to just throw some props out here because we are in the midst of a Major League Baseball season as well, and honestly, I'm not watching a whole lot of sports scene and stuff like that because they don't really. It's not really that entertaining anymore, so I'm not watching it as much. But I'm going to throw out some props to my home team, Tampa Bay Rays. And I know there's been a lot of things going on and being said from a managerial, well, not a manager's, but an ownership standpoint. But another year, this is becoming like clockwork for us. Tampa Bay Rays has the best record in baseball, and nobody's talking about it. Why? Because they're not Boston, they're not the Yankees, they're not the Astros or the Los Angeles Angels or the Mets or, you know, any one of those teams that they love to talk about in the media, the Dodgers, none of the teams.
Is it safe to call the Tampa Bay Rays the new Oakland Athletics?
Oh, they've been that since like 2008. They reinvented the whole Moneyball thing. So,
man,
but
have you looked at their payroll?
Yeah, their payroll is like $50 million or $40 million or something like that. I mean,
Trout makes more than that by himself. $1 billion.
Yeah, dude, Mike Trout makes that by himself, pretty much. But they're at the top, and they're having a great season. And I doubted them when they made the Blake Snell trade because I felt like Blake Snell was a important piece.
Their payroll this year, I just looked it up, is $62 million.
Oh, it went up because it was in the 40s. It went up. They must have made some
You to think about that for a second, man. There are players making more than that.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, you look at the Yankees; they got a couple of them. Mike Trout. Has a couple of them. So, yeah, they definitely, there's definitely a bunch of teams or a bunch of players on teams that make more by themselves pretty much. Than the Rays, but hey, we keep defying the odds. Just keep the ball rolling. I mean, they've been playing excellent. They have, you know, one of the best point differentials in all of baseball. And they're scoring runs and the pitching is holding up. And they, you know, right now they're losing 5-3 to the Astros, and they're a good team, but it's okay to lose some every now and then. I'm not hating on that. But just want to throw some props out there, man. These they're getting it done, and they don't have, like, you know, home run power and stuff like that. And hey, pitching and defense. It's just old school baseball. Pitching and defense, and you got a chance. And that's what they're doing. So we'll get into some more baseball here later on and moving on throughout the summer and stuff. And we're gonna have a All-Star Weekend this year. We didn't have it last year due to the pandemic, so we're gonna have that this year, and be able to, you know, see the home run derby and see if we can get a Ray in there, in the home run derby. I'm not sure who's leading in home runs, but we have the best record in baseball, so somebody please get a give us more than one player that represent us in the home run derby. That's all I ask. That's all I ask, baseball. Can you do me that favor? That's it. So let's see, home runs. Who's leading in home runs right now? Real quick before we move on here in the conversation. So home run leader in, is this all of baseball? Yeah, all of baseball is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And guess who's fifth on the list? This is crazy. Guess who's fifth on the home run list in all of Major League Baseball? Shohei Ohtani, the starting pitcher for the LA Angels, which also is a designated. He also plays as a DH. That guy there is a Met. I mean, that's crazy. But he that dude's got, he might have one of the best bats in all of baseball. He's a .261 average. This dude has 44 RBIs. He's seventh in all of baseball in RBIs as a batter. And I'm not sure what he's doing as a pitcher, but let's go. His OPS, his on-plate percentage is .952, so he's got a 95% on plate. 95% on plate percentage. This dude might be the freaking MVP, bro. Let's see what he's doing pitching wise this season. Where? Come on now. Where's his pitching stats? I don't want to see his hitting. I want to see his pitching. Oh, hey, here we go. Hold on. All right, pitching so far this year, he's eight starts, 2-1, 1.5 WAR, 2.76 ERA, 42 innings pitched, 60 Ks, 26 bases on balls. He's only giving up 15 runs. I mean, so this guy, you could be looking at, he might be the MVP. He could be the MVP. If he keep these numbers up, he'll have 100 runs batted in about 40 plus home runs. Dude, that's crazy. Like, We talked about, like, Babe Ruth and stuff doing this type of stuff. But that was been the last time we really seen this. But we'll jump back into this because this is some special that Shohei Ohtani is doing here for the Angels. But we're going to bring him in now. He's been on the line with us. Rat Pack Sports Show.